You're in tune with What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Fred Mills and Chuck Beatty. Today we're having some fun with song lyrics, and specifically the cliched song lyrics that we'd like to see eliminated from use in music today. I think Fred Mills had the inspiration for this topic from listening to a WNCW program.
Well, that's true. Anybody that listens to NCW has heard Mountain Morning, and then obviously the old-time and bluegrass music on the weekends. And I kept hearing a recurring lyrical motif in which a bluegrass musician claims he's got to ramble. And I was saying to myself, why does he have to ramble? Is there something about playing bluegrass that puts rambling kind of on your itinerary? Or to flip it around, what if you're a bluegrass player and you don't really want to ramble? You want to sit at home. I mean, are you still as authentic a bluegrass player? So anyway, you know, in all seriousness, I know that lyrics, you know, are lyrics for a reason. They express thoughts and metaphors and everything else. But, you know, we bounce some ideas back and forth among the What It Is crew. And I want, since we actually have a living, breathing blues musician here in the What It Is studio, I have wanted for years to ask a living, breathing blues musician, Chuck, have you ever woke up this morning?
Well, Fred, yes. Occasionally I do wake up.
Well, what do you do when you wake up this morning? Do you write a song about waking up this morning?
Well, all due respect, I understand the tongue-in-cheek nature of the comments. First of all, the music, the blues, is oral in tradition. You're passing stories down from one generation to another. The cliches are naturally occurring because the metaphors that are being expressed are the gist of the story, the content of the story being told. And in the telling of it, people repeat what they've heard. And many songs, one of my favorite is Death Letter by Son House.
Son House, yeah.
And there must be, I've never really counted, but I know there are at least five, maybe as many as seven songs referred to in the lyrics of Death Letter that have been made songs in their own right from just that little portion
just
of the lyrics.
And they become
just
titles.
Taking that little part of the lyrics, exactly right. Woke up this morning feeling around for my shoes. Some people say I got them walking blues. Well, that's just three songs right there.
Well, every now and then you hear a song, Hand Me Down My Walking Cane.
Hand Me Down My
Walking Cane. That's an old blues
exactly.
line.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, in defense of it being a cliche and being so repetitive, it's not so much that people take songs and just do the Chinese, you know, two from column A and one from column B to create the song. It's the fact that these sentiments of expression are time-honored. I remember my dear friend Taj Mahal, early in his career, every wild geese in the West appeared in some of his lyric. It was just one of his favorite lyrical images that he would draw from. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's going to be repetition because it is oral. That's the spirit of this music, is that it's passed down and people borrow, add, and change lyrics in this song. I don't know of any blues song that I've ever heard that has fixed lyrics. If you listen to different versions of it over time, the lyrics will be different, you know, depending upon who did it. Even the same artist will change the lyrics for a particular song, which comes to a point. I noticed that I was looking at your blog, and you were talking about copyright and traditional songs. I have this one little pet peeve that I always like to express. And people say that someone is covering a blues song. And it kind of gets the little hackles on the back of my neck to raise, because I kind of feel that this music can't be treated maybe the way that people think of rock and roll or some other forms of music. I don't think a single quote-unquote blues, traditional blues man ever thinks of anybody ever covering anything. The music is a long conversation that's handed over generations and generations. So you're not covering the song, you're performing the song. No one would ever write up in their write-up that the Asheville Symphony covered Beethoven's Fifth Symphony.
So they performed.
They performed it. And so I would say that the same thing holds, in, especially in the blues world, when you know, they say the greatest form of flattery is imitation. And that stands to reason that people would hear songs, hear someone perform it, their memory of the lyric would be carried back, and the song would be performed with their spirit and their approach, and it became their song, mm-hmm. and the song continued to grow and grow and grow.
Well, you could almost say that if someone invokes an earlier lyric, woke up this morning, got my mojo working, they're almost using shorthand to honor and refer back.
Yes, in very, very many ways. And I think of, you know, when we were children, and when we, you know, that there's a psychological development stage where a child tells his first joke or a child tells his first story. And we all learned once upon a time mm-hmm. in a land far, far away. It's the same as the woke up this morning. Yeah, yeah. It's a way of starting the conversation.
Well, let's be honest, though. Some of what we're talking about is about songwriters making lyrics and just not trying all that hard. We're talking about also newer iterations okay. of songs that have just gone into a grab bag and kind of done what you were referring to earlier, two from column A, two from column B, at wham, bam, hearts beating like a drum, and we're shaking that thing, and our tears are like rain, and I'm turning this song off.
Well, you know, there's actually a website out there I found that listed phrases and songs that should never be repeated. I'll just rattle off a couple of them because it does suggest that certain songwriters might be tending towards the lazy side. Well, babe is okay. And baby is okay. And, a baby, I can live with once in a while. But then if you run out of lyrics, maybe you should not just throw in baby just because you need to fill up some word space. I really don't want to hear cut you like a knife or even cuts me like a knife. I could stand to not hear I saw her walking down the street. I mean, I would like to see her walking down the street, but I don't need to express it. You know, how about I'm down on my knees and I'm begging you, please. Have you ever sung that, Chuck? Tell the truth.
Actually, I have.
You have? That's okay. You're a musician. I'm not. But if I ever form a band and I sing that, then please shoot me.
And I'm not going to stand for too much of rocking you all night long
no,
either.
No, don't rock me all night long, Joe. Songs about California. Do we need any more songs about California?
I would almost throw in that Carolina is a little bit like the new California. You think about it, they got the same number of syllables. They are sort of romanticized a lot in songs nowadays. And living in Carolina, sometimes it just feels a little bit strange. It's like kind of doesn't hit me right a lot of times. Just like,
well, I don't think you can sum up living in Carolina in a single song. I mean, you've got mountains on one side and the beaches on one side and then the Piedmont tobacco fields in the middle. But, you know, in all seriousness, lyrics are different from, narrative, and they're different from poetry because you have to fit them with both a melody and a rhythm, and therefore the number of syllables and the economy of the words used. Yeah, I mean, it's easy to see how some songwriters would rely on a tried-and-true phrase, possibly just because it fits the tone and to be honest, expresses the sentiment he's trying to express. So if he's really down and out over the woman, he's down on his knees and he's begging her, please, I mean, that actually can be a pretty valid sentiment. And if the right person sings it, I can go with it, I guess.
Yeah, but this is going to play into another show that we're doing on lyrics. And why not express that in a different way? You know, make it fresh. Do a little work for us.
Well, some songwriters, and typically younger ones, go too far the other way. They'll try to cram an entire novella into 3.5 minutes, and you wind up with what we music critics like to call sub-Dylan-esque rambling. So there again, you get back, I think on an earlier segment, we once pointed out that one of the greatest lyrics ever written was "She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah," because that sums up a very important facet of the human existence.
Well, you know, there's poetry in the music, and one of my favorite lyrical lines comes from Eddie James' son, House. He says, "I didn't know I loved a little girl until they put her in the ground." That is very, very poetic, I think. You know, I wish I'd come up with that. I think it's really, really wonderful.
But expression. I think some of what you were referring to earlier is that it doesn't matter so much that you didn't come with that, because that's just as much a part of you and everybody. Why does it be that you have to come up with it? Is that whole concept of ownership,
right?
And maybe in the blues tradition, people being more open about not necessarily needing to have that sense of ownership and covering a song, etc.
Well, and true. It doesn't matter a good songwriter or a good filmmaker or a good literary writer will, as we mentioned earlier, can pay homage to a mentor or to an influence by slipping something in. I mean,
sure.
Writers do it all the time, and you see
filmmakers do it all the time.
Yes, and if you, the viewer or the listener, pick up on that, you get that little special buzz. Say, he was, and you feel that, and mm-hmm. and that's kind of cool too. So, I guess paraphrase Spinal Tap, there's a fine line between being clever and stupid.
What do you think? Email us what it is at wncw.org. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Fred Mills and Chuck Beatty, talking about lyrical cliches.